God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. We have a group discussion today. Let's get started.
Our God is a God of truth. You emphasize this so much in Gateway to Joy. God is a God of truth. And when a divided mind comes along, we're in for trouble. James tells us that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We are double-minded when we will not accept God's simple truth. Is that it?
That's it, Warren. That's it.
I was thinking about how simple the Beatitudes are. Now, not easy, to use your phrase, Gary.
Clear and understandable.
That's right. And actually, things that are simple are profound. The more you go into them, the deeper things become. When our Lord said, blessed are the meek, that's a simple thing, but it's a difficult thing. Meekness is that quality that when you know you have it, you've lost it. That's what I think it was Andrew Murray used to say that. Well, let's talk now about the divided mind, the double-minded person. In your counseling ministry, Gary, do people come just like this man Elizabeth talked about? They want to con you into something when all the while they know this is the way it ought to be?
Somebody once said that the hardest part, the hardest thing about living the Christian life is trying to half live it.
That's very good.
And,
Repeat that.
The hardest part, the hardest thing about living the Christian life is trying to half live it. And I've had numerous people over the years who have come who have basically hoped that I could help them to feel good about what they are doing. I had a similar case a number of years ago. The person was involved in adultery. He was a leader in the local church, and he used all kinds of spiritualizing, rationalizing, justification. And basically, when he was done, I opened the Word and I showed him several passages, and I named what he was doing as adultery. It's very clear in Scripture. Your main problem is you are choosing willfully to live in sin, to rebel against what God has given us as guidelines and rules for living. And until you do that, not only will you be depressed, you will stay depressed and get more depressed.
But as a psychologist, Gary, can't you make people feel good about doing bad?
There are some tools that some people who do psychology have to help them to feel good short term about doing bad. We have tremendous ability as people, and this goes back to the mind, to justify, to rationalize. And in fact, I have some fairly good skills myself at rationalization and at finding compelling reasons for whatever I want to do. And I think those kinds of skills can be nourished in unhealthy ways. But notice I said short term. The bottom line is, invariably, we reap what we sow. The famous line that I have shared with singles, you know, you can't sow wild oats and pray for crop failure. What we sow, we will reap. Again, short term.
We are all exceptions, you see.
It's amazing how many people I have come who have reached the top. I had one man recently who said, you know, Gary, I climbed to the top of the ladder. I was able to buy the building the ladder was leaning against. He said, I bought the buildings all around it. He's a very wealthy man and owns several companies. He said, but at age 62, I found out that the ladder was leaning against the wrong building. He's lost his wife. He's lost his children. None of his children want to take over his multimillion dollar business. He's relationally, spiritually bankrupt. That's the long term.
And apparently will not face it intellectually and do what needs to be done. We don't want to give anybody the impression that mind is over here and body is over here, because that kind of division, I think, is not valid. We are a whole person. Does your body ever affect your mind? Elizabeth, you travel extensively, and you speak exhaustively sometimes. Does your body ever affect your mind?
Well, I certainly feel that there are times when I really can't exert any more intellectual energy. And so I don't try to prepare a new talk or make notes for writing a book at that point.
Or make a big decision.
You can be sure that on my way home today from what has been a two-week speaking trip, I will just be reading something not too taxing.
I'll have to give you one of my books. That would not tax you too much. I have taken medicine. When I've not been in the hospital a great deal, but they give you medicine that affects your mind. I saw things that were not there and could not comprehend things that were there. So our bodies do affect our minds. Gary?
I think it's critical to understand what it means to be made in God's image, and it's a wonderful concept that is much more than a concept. It's a reality. And we do have body, soul, and spirit, and I think it's so important that we take care of our temple. This is the Holy of Holies for those of us who are believers. God's Spirit lives in us. 1 Corinthians 12, for by one Spirit you've been baptized into one body, made to partake of one flesh. And John 17, Christ talks about Him being in us as He is in the Father. Taking care of our temples through responsible exercise and through what we put into our bodies physically, also spirit, but also soul, the personality. And I see the personality as mind and will and emotions. And I find many, many people, in fact, I've seen replicated studies in the Journal of the American Medical Association that would say between 60 and, I think, the highest I saw was 73% of people in the hospital with actual physical ailments are there because of ailments caused by psychological, mental misuse, if you will, of the mind and or the emotions.
Norman Cousins would agree with you, wouldn't he?
Definitely. Anatomy of an Illness.
Anatomy of an Illness and his subsequent books that are rather interesting.
And so would Solzhenitsyn in his book Cancer Ward.
Very definitely.
Very fascinating.
Well, I think the metaphor that you made of comparing your body and what you put into it, what you feed it, again, I think that is so critical. Every day, throughout the day, our minds are being bombarded by information.
And we have to say no?
Exactly. And there is a choice. God, in His sovereignty, has given us the ability, the privilege, the responsibility to choose.
Ministry.
The ministry, yes. Of choosing, of selecting, of what we will attend to, what we will pay attention to, and what we will plant the seeds in our, you know, in our minds. And so I think what we put into our mind, how we exercise our mind, do we use our mind, and through the time and the word and discipline, I think it's interesting that I've had many people have said, you know, I used to have a quiet time, but I just didn't feel like it, and so I quit having it. And
that's when you need it the most.
Well, exactly. My response is that's an alarm clock for me. When I don't feel like, when I don't desire time with the Lord, flags go up, lights start to flash, bells and whistles, something is wrong. That's the time when I need to go to the Word, to go in prayer, to go to a brother and talk with someone to pray with. It's just the opposite response. So I think exercising our mind, what we put into it, what we fix or focus our mind upon it. What is it? Colossians 3:2.
I was just thinking of those verses.
Set your mind. That's a choice. It doesn't automatically happen. And if you will, the channel of our mind can get changed. But set your mind, because what we focus and dwell on, eventually we will do. I came across a couple of years ago a quote. I don't know the source, but I'd like to just share it with you briefly. We have never said or done an ungracious or unchristlike word or action, which was not first an ungracious or unchristlike thought. We have never felt dislike or hate for a person without first of all thinking thoughts of dislike, which have grown into hate. We have never committed a visible act of sin which shamed us before others, and I might add shamed our Lord, which was not first a shameful thought. We have never wronged another person without first wronging them in our thoughts. What we habitually think will sooner or later manifest itself clearly in some visible expression of that thought. Set your mind on things above. Simple, but not always easy.
It would be interesting sometime to discuss metaphors of the mind. I'm a student of this particular subject because I'm working on a book on imagination and preaching. And for example, if you thought of your mind as a computer, garbage in, garbage out, of course, but it's not just a computer. It's not that predictable. Of course, my computer sometimes is not very predictable. If you think of your mind, for example, as a great big sponge, you can dye it with what you think. You think dirty thoughts, you got a dirty sponge. I don't think any one metaphor covers everything. What do you do when your heart tells you one thing and your mind tells you something else? Paul talks about the heart and the mind being guarded, Philippians chapter 4. Our heart tells us one thing and our mind tells us something else. What do we do in those conflicts? Elizabeth?
Probably most people would mean their emotions by their heart in that case, and I think that Scripture generally means the will when it's talking about the heart. The will is the power to choose. And again, I would say you go back and you test it by the straight edge of Scripture, whatever it is that your mind or your heart is telling you to do. What does the Bible say about it? And almost always you're going to find guidelines in the Scriptures.
Jesus said in John 7:17, if anyone is willing to do his will,
he will know
the truth. He will know the doctrine. F.W. Robertson, the British preacher, used to say, obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. And I like that. It's true. Obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.